Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
This is Ty Scott King, and I'm listening to Crosstalk Radio with Steph Swig and Big Pudge, where the talk is real and raw.
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is
now.
It's
called Talk with Radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican. Let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average, ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the guy who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome to Crosstalk. It's your man, Steph Swig.
It's your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you.
We appreciate the love.
Y'all give it up for our special studio guest, Mr. E-Hud is in the building.
Give it up for E-Hud in the house,
What's up, y'all?
Our first official and studio guest of 2018. Pastor, future podcaster, rapper, man. We got so many things we can ask you about,
man. I like
man.
That servant leader. Yes, I like sir. That. Yes, I like that's what he got on his hoodie.
Jumpsuit yes, right now. Yo, man, thank you for coming through, man. We really appreciate you being here, man.
Awesome. I'm glad to be here, man. It's an honor.
Yeah, so, man, first off, you got a new song out.
Yes.
Called Headshot.
Headshot.
Tell us about this song.
Headshot, to me, is the...
Dope track, by the way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of evangelizing to me. And it's kind of like a double entendre. It's a headshot. You know, we're talking about guns or, you know, in battle, you're shooting. Mm-hmm. You want a kill shot, you go for the head.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you out here evangelizing and you giving the gospel, we trying to give headshots.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to let them leave. We're trying to kill the old man right then and there. You know what I mean? So we out there, we aiming our target, we hitting the headshots. And, you know, dope beat, you know, try to get, you know, the hook to be a little bit catchy and everything like that.
It was. You pulled that off.
I tried. Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
I tried.
So where can they get your song?
Everywhere, man. iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, Apple Music, whatever streaming service you're a part of, you know, you go ahead and...
So everywhere. So there's no excuse not to get your song.
No excuse.
I hear you.
No whatsoever.
So y'all heard from the man himself, Headshot. Make sure y'all listen to the song right quick, then after that, y'all go get the album, or go get the record.
Absolutely.
You got an album coming out yet?
Oh, we working. It's a slow cook, but we working.
Right, I hear that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that slow roast, man, be the draw when they come out.
When that meat fall off the bone. It's a slow cook, but we working.
When y'all gonna get this track, here's Headshot.
Dolo.
Dolo. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
Red dot,
red dot, that's the headshot. That's the word, that's the new wave. Yes. You see me, I'm strapped with it. Boy, I've been on that new flame. Red dot on them red letters. Yeah. Red rum if I go back. New hustle, I love the hustle. Now watch how them so stacked. Diss me in the flesh. What you see is what you get. Miss me with all that diss means that you sneeze, God bless. I ain't saying I'm the best, but I got an assignment. First bottom, then red dot on. God's kingdom gets violent. God's word is the ammo. Reach one is the angle. Y'all foul and one. Kyrie with the handle. Yeah, but I ain't never switching. Chris Elijah, slow it down. Spin around for Jehovah. Red dot, that's a headshot. 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 God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. Red dot, that's a headshot. 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 God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot.
Red dot, that's
how I get it. I'ma get it how I live it. Never misinterpret. I got purpose. Watch me swerve it. I am in the spirit. When I spit it, it's prophetic. Never get it twisted. I hit targets. I don't miss it. Red dot, that's the headshot. That's the word that you'll be about. I don't care about the statuses or what the status is. I ain't chasing clout. This is all in my heart now. Till I'm dearly departed. God's big, I trust the Red Seas get parted. God's word is the ammo. Reach one is the angle. Y'all foul and one. CP with the handle. Yeah, and I ain't never switching. Chris Elijah, slow it down. Spin around for Jehovah Jireh. Red dot, that's the headshot. Red dot, that's a headshot. Red dot, that's a headshot. Red dot, that's a headshot. God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. Red dot, that's a headshot. 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 God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot. God's word, that's a kill shot.
Red dot, that's
yo.
Dope song.
That song is dope, yo.
Appreciate
dope.
It, guys.
That's a banger.
Appreciate
right there,
that, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate
no
it.
No doubt. No doubt, man. So, I know you for a while, man. I know you mostly as a rapper, but I know you got a pastor attached to your name on Facebook, and you, and obviously you're a pastor.
Right.
So, how long you been pastor?
Before we get into that, right quick.
Okay.
the whole song was about, you know what I'm saying, pretty much coming from an evangelizing standpoint. Like, talk to us more about that. And I'm saying that because when it comes to the fivefold, you know, evangelist is the most downplayed out of the fivefold. Nobody's excited about being out there in the wilderness with the wolves and thieves and, you know what I'm saying, the killers and doing exactly what Yeshua did. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's obvious, and then you're like, I'm loving that hoodie servant leader. That's it's obvious. It's a passion to you. Like, how did it even come to be like a passion to still like want to do something like that?
Because the scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So if God is not willing that all that any should perish, that we need to be out here evangelizing.
Yeah, right.
It, even if at the risk of us being told no, or I don't believe in your God, or, you know, get out my, I don't got no time right now. We need to be out there evangelizing. So it's a very important, integral part of the fivefold. You know, we see that in our hands, the middle finger is the longest one.
Yeah.
Because the evangelist, it reaches out the furthest longest. to go out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? The Bible said, compel them to come. So we go, we evangelize, and we bring the evangelist needs to know the word, go out, engage the lost or engage the individual, and bring them back to the pastor for pastoring.
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a passion of mine because I see, like, it's definitely attack against the evangelist. Everybody wants to be a bishop. Everybody's an apostle.
Yep.
Everybody's a pastor.
Yep.
You know, but nobody wants to be a teacher.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be an evangelist. Right. Everybody's a prophet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it like you said, it's downplayed. And but I just want to give a spark back to the office of the evangelist. Go out there and give them headshots, man. Go out there and engage, even at the risk of being told no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evangelist, you got to have thick skin.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because they're going to tell you no. They're going to give you the look when you come. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know, that's why I try to engage and teach people. Go as you, if they see you coming with a Bible and a suit and all that stuff, they're going to already try to just they come how you are.
Put up.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. Just go out, how you are and give them what God gave you to give them. And that's it.
That's what's up. That's dope. Yeah. That's dope.
All right, so. So back to pastoring. So how long have you been a pastor?
All my life, I guess.
You've been a pastor all your life. Can you explain, can you elaborate on that one?
Okay, when I was in the womb, right? Officially been pastoring, man, for 2 years.
Okay.
2 years. But this call has been on my life for
the womb.
The womb.
Pretty much. Look, I was with you when you was like, sister, absolutely. Womb. I was taking you seriously because I'm like, that's just something people don't realize.
Nah, but you're right.
Your calling come from before you was even designed.
You don't just, develop a calling once you get
exactly. Born. Exactly.
It's already predestined. Right.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, didn't know nothing about church. Didn't know anything about calling and anything like that. Yeah. You know. I felt like I was made to go to church, you know. Now looking back, hindsight, I'm glad my mom drug me to church, and I had all that instilled in me, and so on and so forth. But I would say probably 2003 it was when it was told to me that, hey man, you're gonna be a pastor one day.
Wow!
And I heard it every single year since then. So it took 14 years before I actually answered the call.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it took a lot, you know, for me to actually answer it. You know, I was actually in New York when I got the call from the Lord, like, hey, okay, in 2013, I was in the hospital for 14 days, seven of which I was in ICU, had seven blood transfusions.
Wow.
And my wife was pregnant with my son.
Wow.
So I was like, I got to get out of this hospital, you know, and my family in New York, because January of that same year I lost my mom. So my family was like, hey, come here, because the medical system here in Georgia is a little bit different. New York is like, come get well, we worry about the money later, you know what I mean? So went to New York, got my treatment, I was with my family and everything, and I was there for a little over a year. And Lord said, okay, I need you to go back to Atlanta now. When you go back, I need you to start ministry. I'm like, what? Because I'm looking at it in this aspect, okay? The Bible said, unstable man, double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. So, okay, I just sold everything in Atlanta. I just uprooted my whole family, moved to New York.
I remember that.
You remember, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm like, God, now I'm going to go back. You know, they're going to be looking at me like, bro, what are you doing? It's not like, it's not just you moving. You're moving your whole family and taking out of school, enrolling in school, all this. You know, but I was obedient to the Lord, man, and he told me, when you go back, I need you and your wife to start ministry. So this past Sunday, we just celebrated 2 years.
Man, congratulations, man.
That's
awesome.
That's beautiful.
All right. I don't want to interview you too long as a pastor, because I really wanted to ask you about your music and this podcast. We're on this vein, man, so you said it was 14 years before you answered the call. That's a lot of ringing to not answer. What took you so long to answer the call, man?
Preparation.
You just felt like you wasn't ready?
Preparation. It got to the point where I wasn't even thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
I was just serving.
Okay.
I was an adjutant, armor bearer, you know, traveling with that leader at the time. And, you know, I was just serving. So it got to the point where I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. You know, I wasn't walking around like, yo, one day I'm going to be a pastor.
Right.
I was just in the moment serving. And I found joy in serving. I found joy in being a, because at the time when I first received the information, like, yo, one day you're going to be a pastor, I wasn't married. So I got married and had kids.
So you just prep yourself anyway.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So I wasn't even thinking about it, man. So it was just God preparing, because Apostle Paul, after Damascus Road, from that point to, Galatians, the second chapter, when he took the right hand of fellowship with the other apostles, it was about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it took time for him to actually walk into his calling. Jesus was 30 years before the ministry actually started. So, you know, this ain't no pop-up, you know.
Nah, ain't no pop-up overnight type thing.
That's what's up.
It's, I mean, if you think about it, even the 12 apostles, not disciples, when you know, sending their rock with Jesus, their life stories.
Absolutely.
I mean, their preparation.
Absolutely.
It don't really go into their childhood and stuff like that. But I'm sure everything they was going
led up to
that moment in time of them being at that specific place at that specific time. So
I agree.
I think it's a difference when. I'm glad you used the word preparation because, you know what I'm saying, you didn't say I was running.
Right.
A lot of people.
That's what I thought when you said 14.
Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people do run. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of them things where it's like when you say you're not even thinking about it, that kind of like lets you know God had you where he needed you to be at that point in time just to prepare you for exactly the next level that you was actually going to.
And the thing about it is, a lot of times I didn't even know I was being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember the Bible said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was so trusting in God with his life. And that's where I was. I was so trusting in God that, you know, one of my prayers was, God, even if I don't understand, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't understand what's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I trust that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to lie. At the tail end of everything, when my mom passed and that whole whirlwind and everything, I had gave up on ministry.
Yeah.
Not God.
Ministry.
Yeah. I was tired of what I saw behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just tired of the politics.
Right.
I was tired of it. And I was like, yo, I'm good. So when I went to New York, I was good. I'm like, yo, we gonna go to church and we gonna come home.
Yeah.
We gonna watch these Giants. You know, we gonna worry about this. I'm not. And my aunt in New York, which is a pastor, you know, she was in Brooklyn. We were living in Queens. And, my wife was like, so, you know, what's up for church? It's like, yeah, we could just go pick one around the corner because we can't get all the way over there in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
My wife went and called her and said, and she was like, oh, that's no problem. I have members that live in Queens. Not too far from where you are. So it was like, you know, I was like, all right, here we go. So we went and she ignited what needed to be ignited and started using me and my wife in ministry and... You know, here we are, man. 2 years of ministry later, man.
That's a blessing.
Being prepared,
is
definitely not easy. It's hard, and like I said, it got to the point where my mind got off of it. Mm-hmm. I just got entrenched in serving.
Yeah. Was it hard for you to transition from evangelist to pastor?
No, and yes.
Okay.
No, and yes.
Elaborate.
Because the transition to pastoring in the preaching tense is easy.
Okay.
The pastoring of the soul is difficult. You meet all types of personalities from time of the benediction Sunday evening to Saturday night. The meetings, the phone calls, the text messages, this, talking people off the ledges. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time that the church that we have in Mapleton, I'm not just a pastor to you all. Because if I should show you my inbox, I'm getting inbox from Afghanistan, India. Mm-hmm. I'm getting people, this one pastor, he's been trying to get me to come to India for over a year.
Wow.
Keep asking me, you know, I need you to bring the gospel to my province or to my city, you know, in India, whatever, you know. I'm not ready for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready for that yet. That's a whole nother level.
Yeah.
That's at least you know that.
It's a whole nother level to go to another country where if you go past this border here, you're dealing with Islam and you're dealing with radicals and you're dealing with this.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared and ready to go into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you do for a Facebook post.
Yeah.
You might lose your life out there. You dig what I'm saying? And you know, I got a wife, I got a family, I gotta think and make every move calculated, you know what I'm saying, on the unction of God. But the evangelism part of it is in me. It's just I just I'll tell you a quick little story. There's a Dunkin' Donuts right by the church where I stop and I get coffee for the mothers and donuts some mornings and stuff like that. And every now and again when being led, I take my order and I ask, is there something I can pray for you about?
That's what I'm talking about.
They know me at the Dunkin' Donuts now because of that. And one lady said, hey, my nephew just got shot last night or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Is there a number you have? Can we, you know, can we talk and can we pray? So that's, I don't post that stuff on on social media, Instagram and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, some things you know what I mean? It's not all about that. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. So, the evangelizing, it don't stop. It doesn't stop at all, man.
That's dope.
Yeah.
All right. So last pastor question. What is your greatest challenge as a pastor?
The greatest challenge for me, and I don't know if the goalpost is going to move as far as challenges, you know, as you go and grow as a pastor. But the greatest challenge for me is a couple things. Is staying on the edge. Staying on the edge and not getting locked and tied into one way of thinking or moving or acting or being. Just staying fresh. Staying on the cutting edge of what God is saying and what God is doing. And two, it's making sure that I'm giving the people what's right, what's accurate, what's relevant at the moment.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want nothing stale.
I know that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's right.
And you think about somebody coming to the church that's hungry. You giving them something stale?
Yeah,
I feel you.
You dig what I'm saying? So imagine you going to your favorite restaurant. They bring the plate out, and the food ain't right. And so I just want let me tell you, I'll be honest with you all. Mondays are my worst days because that's when the devil attacks me the worst. Is on Mondays. My wife will tell you she's been going through it for 2 years.
Wow.
Sunday after church. Babe, what did you think? Well, how did that sound? Man, I shouldn't have said that. Man, why did I? And she's like, babe, what are you? And then Mondays is the worst. It's Mondays. Mondays it's like you ain't called for this. This, you know what I mean? That's the different challenges.
And there's your confirmation. Honestly, you know, I know what you're saying. Attacks are vicious, but like, if you ain't doing it right, you won't be attacked.
Absolutely.
If you're not a threat, you're going to be attacked. You don't attack non-threats.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't attack your allies.
You're right.
Right, man. What I want to do, man, is encourage you, bro, and tell you, man, stop beating yourself up, dog. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. Because my brother is a pastor. Mm-hmm. My mother's an apostle. I seen the both of them. I would never in a million years want to be a pastor.
It's rough, man.
And you said the reason why I would never want to be one. Mm-hmm. Other people's personalities and God waking you up all times of the night with other people on you. Mm-hmm. You are responsible for human beings. It may be something you don't even like, particularly like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they are part of your flock. They're your sheep, and you obedient. Like. And you know, it's like I just learned that the percentage of suicide that pastors commit
is
high. And then the amount of pastors that give up is high. You know, and they say within the first 4 to 5 years is when the hardest challenge for pastors are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm encouraging you right now. And it's funny because my brother, who is my pastor, Sunday nights is his worst.
Well,
you said Mondays is yours.
What I'm saying?
And what I'm saying, and I'm going to tell you something he told me. He said it was when he got to a group of pastors, young pastors, because he's young too.
What's your brother?
Kamel Brown.
I know him.
Okay.
Kamel Brown and Levi.
Yeah, Tribal Levi. Yeah. So he said when he found a group of pastors young, experienced the same thing experience, it gave a comfort to know
that. It's not just me, right?
It's not just me. And it's like, you know, like he's like, it's like they'll get together, you know, if they can on them days where the other one is going through, you know. So, I mean, he has a circle of people where he's with on Sundays, you know what I'm saying? So, and even if that's not how you roll, just know for a fact, you know what I'm saying, bro, you doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? And think, and always know this, trial and error. It's facts. Gonna happen.
Facts.
You're only 2 years facts. In. Trial and error is undoubtedly facts. Gonna happen.
Yeah.
But you have to know that God put you there for a reason.
Absolutely.
And that trial and error is just the fleshly part. We human. He put this on us. You know what I'm saying? Because you got something awesome. I don't want you killing your own mind.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, the funny thing, I received that and I appreciate that. You know, the funny thing is I'm too stubborn to stop.
That's
if it my wife would tell you, man, like if I'm trying to beat a video game, I'll be up at 4 a.m. You understand? I give you a story. Years ago, she wanted to grill. She wanted some you know, barbecue food. Uh-huh. So I went to Walmart, bought a little grill. I'm from the city. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not good with my hands.
Yeah.
It took me about 4 hours to put a little $30 grill
together.
I wouldn't stop. I would not stop. I mean, meats was prepped. Everything was ready.
Just waiting for the grill.
You know, so, you know, I wouldn't stop. And that's something that she loves about me is my determination. Like, I refuse to stop and quit. And this crosstalk, and we can be open and honest.
Oh, most
right?
definitely.
Of course.
You know most what I mean? Definitely.
And we encourage that.
I have been counted out my entire life.
Mm.
So that plays. For years, I struggled with validation.
Okay.
For years, I needed to be accepted. I need to be, you know, it may have been from a lack of relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. Though my dad was in the house, he wasn't in the house.
Oh, so I got you. It's my story.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's my story right there.
It was a disconnect there for some sort of reason. You're physically there, but you weren't there.
That's my story.
You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, I went through life not even knowing that I was the life of the party. I'm thinking
that's dope.
I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Wondering why my older friends was coming to me to talk to me. Like, why are you talking to me about your problem? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand that. You know, they looked to me like, oh, he not gonna be there, whatever. But I was looking for them for validation. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just got over that probably three, four years ago.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But the residue is still there sometimes, especially with the gospel rap and the gospel music. I've reached out to so many different people and heard no and heard I'm busy right now. But then the next song you did with somebody. So, you know, so I'm looking at it like, okay, is it me? Is something wrong with me? Am I that whack? I need to up my bars or something like that. Do I need to do this different, whatever? But what you just said, you're doing what you're supposed to. You know what I'm saying?
Your bars, man. Come on, man.
When I say far, you probably don't even know, man. But the first time I heard you spit, I think was in 2009. Was it 3HP? Did you used to rock with them?
I was affiliated with them, with Troy and everybody. Yeah.
It was an event I saw you on. I saw you at, and I'm trying to think who else was there. It was some cats that was there from 3HP that was there. Mm-hmm. But when I heard you spit, I was like, he sound like somebody from my like my hometown. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But it's just everything I'm hearing is positive.
Wow.
That's the upside of what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when I seen when he was like E Hood, I'm like, E Hood, man, like I heard that name a while ago. Mm, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's been a while since I got tired of the foolishness too and kind of stepped back and stayed back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, when it comes to, I only know old names from way back then.
The new
Christian artist names, they, you know what I'm saying? You got to give me something on them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, man, I've paid my dues. I've been putting in work since 2003.
Yeah.
I've been putting in work out here, doing events. You name them, I probably know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I remember when you used to have Holy Hip Hop here?
Yeah,
you know,
I miss those days.
Yeah, I rocked on stage with Ken Jones back in the day, back in 06 and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. It's been a long journey. So the trend, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, God was setting you up to speak to crowds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he gave you, he put you in front of crowds to rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you won't be so overtaken when you have to preach to a crowd, because you already know how to speak to a crowd through the music, through rapping and so on and so forth. So. I just love where I'm at right now with it.
Yeah.
The transition to pastoring, you know, and now doing music again, you know, it just feels like I'm in a good space. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're going to talk about your bars for a minute, though.
No doubt.
All right, so back up. So because even when I know you, man, I always know you'd be a lyrical dude.
Right,
so your bars was never in question,
right.
You know. And I literally asked Dub, like, does he really have an S on his chest? He used to talk about having Superman S tatted on my chest.
Right.
I'm like, does he really have this?
Oh, man.
I remember when we used to say that, like, on a lot of your songs.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
Dub, like, nah, he just say it. But, man, you was always lyrical. Like, some of your verses, are, like, they still stick with me. Like,
it,
yo,
man.
So even from way back. So, bars, nah, that's never been an issue. And sometimes, I mean, you know, everybody has their own crowd, you know.
Right.
When you're super lyrical, they probably not gonna have the crowds jump.
Right,
they're gonna have people try to listen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I think that's how Double style was back in the day. Like people could Double like yo, when they Platinum Souls come on, you know, crowd's hype. But when I come on, the crowd's not as hype. Well, because everybody listens to what you gotta say.
Right.
You're lyrical. Your style's not gonna get crowds
that
jumping
same
like
reaction. Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Now Double CD, I pop a CD in all the time and listen to it and just rock with. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, this is dope. Same thing with your stuff.
Right.
Y'all got a song together, don't y'all?
Plenty.
Ooh, Double.
Yeah.
We had plenty.
Okay, so I already know, because whoever you was on. It was y'all doing a song together.
It was probably me, Double, probably Trey Peace.
Come on, Crew Love?
Could have been Crew Love. We had so many songs.
Because y'all was like a trio.
I remember when
y'all was performing Saint Street, y'all had the song Crew Love and North Up would come out.
Yeah.
And all three of y'all come out.
It was something like Blessings Go Up, Up.
I don't remember, man.
Man, what did they perform?
They didn't perform that night, no. You talking about the one?
We did a couple of centuries
several times, but that I think you're talking about the night where we had the whole 3HP camp come. They wasn't there that night. Well,
Double.
Wait a minute.
Y'all did.
Double at Atrium?
Yeah.
At Atrium?
You was on that set.
Yes, he was.
At Atrium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole 3HP went up?
Yeah.
Because him and Double did a song and he featured on one of Double.
This
is the moment that I'm talking about. I remember seeing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what that song was. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got it on video. We can go back and watch the video.
The first time he did the Sanctuary. And the whole 3HP camp was there.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty ATL was there.
Yeah,
he was on stage. He was on stage too.
But that was the first time we did the open. I think
at
the
Atrium.
Open mic at the Atrium. Yeah, it's like a third event at the Atrium.
Okay.
But you came to our very first or two when we was doing them at iDrum.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. But the one, but the one that Scotty ATL was
I
guess you did. Yeah,
I told you. I remember doing it because y'all did a song or something right there. And I know I would when I. That's when I'm like, that's the first, whatever year that was.
Right.
That's the first time.
2009.
Yeah, first time. Yeah.
2009.
And it was, actually, man, I ain't going to even lie. I was following 3HP. Like, they was like they was Rough Riders.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much because I'm from up north. Everybody that it was like there had like a Northern East Coast style.
Yeah.
And the beats was rocking, all the lyrics was pure, and then everybody's style was so different.
But it was all lyricists,
and it was all lyricists. I mean, I'm like, why in the world would I not find? And then it's good music.
Yeah.
Like I can legit all four of my kids. They know. They know all the early 3HP stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody that was on there. You know what I'm saying? They know all of it just because. I rocked it all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That Double and Mouthpiece.
Young Ray was on there.
Young Ray got his music too,
Righteous
man.
Righteous 119. All of them.
I mean, literally, it was, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't know anything about Christian hip hop back then.
Mm.
I just knew I had just started rapping, you know, for God, but I was like, I was still out in the streets. I'm going out to like little secular open mics,
right, mm-hmm.
and I'm
right.
just getting on an open mic. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't know there was Christian rappers yeah, yeah. that actually, you know, rap.
I thought I was the only one.
You see?
No, seriously. When I started doing this, I thought I was the only. I thought, oh, man, I'm about to flip this whole world upside down. I don't understand. I don't think I understand. I thought I was the only
Christian rapper.
Never in a million years I thought it was this much.
Yeah,
because I was working. And I was working on Memorial Drive and the Hit Factory.
Yeah, I remember that.
That used to be a supermarket called Little Bucks.
Uh-huh.
A 99-cent supermarket store. Mm-hmm. Everything in there was 99 cents. Collard mm-hmm. greens, watermelons, everything was 99 cents.
Wow.
Right? So I'm at work, you know, and this was back in 03? 03 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Frank Ski on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jesus Walks by Kanye West. Let me tell y'all something, man. He had the whole Phillips Arena screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? I said, I can do that. I'm actually living this life.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? And I started making little raps in my head and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then probably less than a year later, I was really getting into it. And I started meeting this one. And a friend of mine invited me to a church in Stone Mountain, and that's when I met Double and Platinum Souls and Sea Animal and everybody. I'm like, yo, hold up, it's a whole crew of people.
Right.
Yeah. Like, hold up. And I heard Platinum Souls and I was like, what? And I saw Double, I was like, Poison. And I'm listening to him, I'm like, what?
Right.
So, man, I can do this.
Yeah.
And, but at the time, I thought I was the absolute only one.
Yeah.
So I bet your mind was blown when you went to the Holy Hip Hop Award.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And then they put me on to Corey Redd and Precise from New York. And I'm listening to all these, and I'm listening to guys that was way back doing gospel rap. I'm like, what? Had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely no idea. And now look at it.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Yo, so what's your greatest challenge as a rapper?
Again, just like the pastoring, is just staying on the cutting edge,
mm-hmm.
but not losing who you are. You know what I mean?
That's vital,
like,
man.
I'm not, you're not going to see me jumping around on a stage
mm-hmm.
and doing the latest dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not.
That would be weird if you
said that. He said that'd be weird.
That would be, we got a certain image for you. That's right. Our whole image. Why he dance? He ain't Big Daddy Kane. That's like rapper.
Definitely not.
Looking rapper, you know, can dance on stage and be all right.
Definitely. Him and Heavy D.
Right. They can get away with it all day.
They can do it all day.
Right.
But it's just staying on the edge, man.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing I want to convey, you know, is this. I had a meeting with someone a couple months ago about coming on and doing some managing and booking, so on and so forth. And
mm-hmm.
I told them that you take the 60, I take the 40. Or you take the 70, I take the 30. Or you take the 80, I take the 20.
That's what you told
them? I told them that. And I said, like, what? What?
That's how we looking, like, huh?
Okay. Yeah, because at this point, the money is not an issue for me.
Mm.
I can't pay for exposure. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't pay for being put in front of 100 kids or a congregation.
Mm.
I can't pay for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the it's like when I was looking for jobs or whatever, mm-hmm. just put me in the room. I can sell myself.
Yeah. Right. Just give me that.
Just give me the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I need. That's all I need. Right. I don't need anything else. Just put me in the room with whoever's hiring.
Right.
I can sell myself.
Right.
And that's the same way I feel with the gospel music or whatever mm-hmm. the case. I don't care who's hot out there.
Okay.
I don't care who you feel is the dopest or the best or the hottest or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they may be in their own right or whatever. Just give me an opportunity. Get in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's just at this point I feel I have a message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to be touring and be the hottest rapper out and just have a gazillion followers and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I had a meeting with, I'm not going to say her name, I'm not going to say the company name, but I had a meeting with someone very up in gospel music, and spoke to her on the phone. And the first thing she asked me is, how many followers you got? I like your music. No doubt, I think you're dope. Her exact words is, I don't need to know who's the next Lil Cray. I need to know who's the next E Hud. That was her exact words to me.
Yeah.
But you don't have a following. You don't have a million followers and so on and so forth. So you will deny dope music, talent, whatever the case may be, because I don't have a social media. I'm sorry, I'm not on social media every day trying to get likes and so on and so forth. I have a family. I got a 3-year-old son. I got an 18-year-old daughter that's a second semester in college. I got an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old. I got a wife. I got ministry. I got a whole bunch of different things going on. You understand what I'm saying? So right now, I'm not looking for a big payday to be touring and doing all. I just need to get the message out. And I still love making music. I love the creative part of it.
I mean, man, with your heart and what I hear, you know, your authenticity, I think no matter who... I'm trying to say is I don't think it matters like with the gate who the gatekeepers are.
Right.
I think God will create a whole nother lane.
Yeah. Right.
Because I think like if he's got this dude you I'm talking about who's zealous and he's got this mess that you've been playing on your heart, he's got to get you out to the point where it can reach those people.
Right.
You know, these gatekeepers, there's nothing wrong with that. She's looking at it from a business perspective.
Let me clean that up a little bit. I wasn't mad at her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I wasn't mad at the... I took the feedback.
Yeah.
It stung a little bit, you know what I mean? But like you said, I understand that she's in the business.
Yeah.
So she got to look at the bottom line or whatever. Right. I'm looking at it more ministry first.
Yeah, she's looking at a dollar sign, you're looking at souls.
Right. And I mean, and she may be looking at her souls, but because she's in the business, she got to look at the bottom line because she got a mouth. She got mouths to feed and she got... Yeah. You dig what I'm saying? So it's the Bible said that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So it's just trying to find the right balance of business and ministry, you know?
I admire your humility, you know, and God had dealt with me on this before. Like, I would always try to fall back in the beginning of the sanctuary. I fall to the background, like other people host it.
They
call me if I do my little Russell's thing. Right. They got to come out, God bless, good night. And then God told me to step up front because people need to put a face to the ministry. So I think I know you talking about the social media thing. I think people need to know more of E-Huds, welcome the public to join in your journey on this. And when people feel like they're a part of something you're doing, then they're going to be vested. You know, like, kind of like soap, not like soap operas, but people like, oh, wow, such as this happened, such. So they'd be part of your journey. Like, yo, I remember when he was doing this. I remember when he was over here. So I helped him along. So, make sure people, they need to know your heart, man, because, they need to know who E-Hud is, the person, and Pat, father, husband, all that stuff.
You're right.
And then they're sold into your music. They feel like they're sold into your family at this point.
You're right. Give them nuggets of portions of your life. You know what I'm saying? Example would be telling them where Headshots came from, the birth of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally sitting down with a camera, know what I'm saying, going into it, or, you know, playing certain verses and explaining what them verses mean, you know what I'm saying? Because we come from old school people, and old school people, when they Frankie Beverly and Maze, anybody that was a fan, they still a fan still today.
Yeah.
Like if they come in town, Stevie Wonder gonna go see them today. So it's like, once you have a fan, you got a fan. Like 20 years from now, they still gonna know who you are. And it's like Steph was saying, it's because your boy Nipsey Hussle. You heard of him?
I know Nipsey. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this dude, as hood as he is.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
So my man, I found somebody told me he has a when he sells like hoodies or shirts or something. When you purchase it, you actually he got a barcode on it. When you purchase it, you scan the barcode and you get like his whole album, but it got like 100 songs on it.
Oh wow.
Marketing. So he literally and then he said something else to where he was selling us his CDs for $100.
I heard, and Jay-Z bought a whole bunch of them, I heard,
So his thing is, whoever was talking to him in his ear was saying, right now, you're not making, he about money. You're not going to make any money off of just the album. As soon as your album drops, it goes right to YouTube.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's everybody got your whole album.
Yeah.
So people are finding ways to reinvent.
And
that reinvention was like, make these people go on a journey with you. Have them buy your logo clothes.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And then they download your music on top of that. Then after certain downloads, then he give them some kind of like $50 reward. He's making people, and then you get an exclusive video with every purchase of him.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't get the same thing. He's making things personal. To where this dude like really feeling me. Like he really appreciates me.
So that connect is there.
You gotta connect.
And he just dropped his first album. He been out for the past, what, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. But just dropped his first album, and he already, his money bracket is already like stupid high. Because of what he was doing in the process.
So he's just incorporating the business with the talent.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely because I was like you. I mean, I'm still like you, right? I'm trying to come out of the, I got a lot going on, right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I want no fan base.
Right.
But I'm realizing that if you even have the audience that you that God has for you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost like giving them that peace, and then they seeing you a father, you know what I'm saying? And then they seeing that you a pastor or shepherd on top of that, like the respect level comes in more, you know what I'm saying? And then their appreciation of your music even enhances because they actually know what kind of man you really are.
Right.
That's what's up, man. We got a few more questions, man. But we got so much happening right now. You dropping nuggets back and forth, man. I don't even want to cut in right now. That's what's up, man. That's how this is about connecting, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're an artist, man. So I have to ask you three questions. One question is, who is your music aimed at? Who are you aiming for? Who are you trying to reach with your music?
Like your target audience?
Yeah, your target audience. Not your audience, but who is your target audience?
Is for anybody that wants to... Because I find that there's people that wants to be... There's a lot of Zacchaeuses. A lot of people looking for...
You can't be drop words like that and just act like we know.
Yeah, further explain.
You know Zacchaeus. He was in the sycamore tree looking at Jesus passing by.
I feel like I should know this.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
I never knew his name.
So Zacchaeus,
that's that pastor coming out of him. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much everybody's looking from afar off at Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They're intrigued. They want to get into it. But they're looking at afar off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And my message is basically, yo, come, man.
Yeah.
You can still be fly. You can still have your swag. Yes. You can still do your thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. You know, come, get saved, get cleaned up, you know, have some insurance for after this life.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? So that's my target audience. And I'm my heart is so much for young people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? My daughter hated me 11th grade, 12th grade. Because I would bust everything up. I knew every song. I knew every dance. I knew every Facebook challenge.
Okay.
I knew everything. So she was just like, you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, but she could talk to me.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And she knew, and all her friends were like, yo, your dad is just like, you dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, is that your dad? Is that your brother?
Right.
Because he looks so, you know what I mean? So, you know, my heart is for them. So anybody that's not saved,
mm-hmm.
or saved and just want to know how to do this thing the right way, you know what I mean? That's my target, man. You know, you could still be fly, you could still rock your Jordan, mm-hmm. you could still flip your hat to the back, you could still do your thing, the inside.
Yes, thank you.
The inside, you've changed on the inside. You don't even think the same way. Your heart don't beat the same way. You don't operate the same way.
That's
my target. So, like Trey Peace, one of my best friends, and I told y'all I was in the hospital. This man literally saved my life. That's another story for another day. But he was there for me.
Dang, when, I want to hear that story, but we ain't got time for it.
Yeah, man, I needed to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
This is after I had the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I had some complications, and my car was outside, but it wasn't working. And I didn't know who to call, and I called Trey, and he came right away. Took me to the hospital and stayed with me. Stayed with me until my wife could got a ride to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stayed with me. You dig what I'm saying? And he always tells me, bro, rap how you talk, man. Mm. I said, what you talking about? The same way you break down scriptures and do all of that.
Yeah.
He said, yo, rap like that.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hear him, you know, but if I wouldn't know how to cut off. I wouldn't know how to turn the switch off. Like, I remember there's a song Jay-Z said, lyrically, he's Talib Kweli. Like, I want to rap like that.
Yeah.
I want to rap like Talib Kweli and Mos Def and Common. I want to rap like that, but... You know, I gotta do it the way I can do it. For me, it's pretty much, you know, putting the medicine in the candy.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? Because everybody want to jump and turn up and do all that stuff or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Your fan base is kind of up in their 40s. They might want to sit.
They might want to sit down,
right?
Might want to sit back and chill and have a cup of tea or something like that. You know what I'm saying? That chamomile flow.
I like
that.
Chamomile
flow.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, we got your answer. So, man, I got to ask this. But you ready for this one? Because we all
it's the major one.
Talk to me.
Yeah,
it's the major one.
Top five rappers.
Top five best favorite rappers.
Yeah, top five rappers.
And I'm gonna try not to get added to the same secular.
Period.
Period.
Top five.
It's cross talk. It's you know what I'm saying. Period.
All right. I'm gonna do it in order.
Then see, I like no. I'm gonna respect who you say. Right. Just because you said in order. Rare, I think he may be the first one to say
in order.
Wait
you hear what he said before you respect it.
Now, you say that if the... If the number one cat come out your mouth and he's number one, uh-huh. I'm going to understand because of where you from.
Right.
I'm not going to respect it.
Come on, man.
No pressure.
I'm going to go in order.
All right.
I'm going to order. First off top, Jigga. Off top.
Gosh,
Jigga.
You can't don't put us out.
Right.
It's his top five. We already did our top five. Okay.
Two, Kane.
Okay, I'm with you on Kane.
We got Kane. Two. Three, Mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
I respect that.
Mouthpiece.
Too.
Four, Eshaun Burgundy.
That's dope.
I hear that.
Eshaun. And five, Nas.
Do you have this in your pocket? He had it on order.
I must say.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, bro. We was cool this whole podcast up until now.
Until you put Nas at the end?
You put Nas as number five?
Yeah, five.
Yeah. Over. Oh, okay, that's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's so disrespectful.
Nah. I didn't even put Biggie on there.
Well, see, my thing is Biggie ain't on my top five.
Nah, ain't even Biggie. And Biggie, to me, is crazy nice.
Yeah, he is.
Crazy
nice. He don't have a lot of work, though.
You know what? I need to have a better
understanding.
Better understanding. This is one of them times where...
You need your top five show.
We need a top five show.
We can get some rappers on here. That's what we need to do.
Because the kids will be me and him. Yeah.
We're going to have to have you back.
Especially since we birthed it. Thinking what you're talking about. We're going to have you back. Because I'm like... And you know what? We're going to say it because this... question can easily go another 15 minutes.
Of course, all I'm gonna say is,
we need to try to work on having this show real soon. Because I need to understand.
Hey,
we're gonna pick.
Hey, Biggie's birthday is March 9th.
Yeah, no, it's his death day.
I mean, it's not birthday. It's the day he died.
Yeah, March 9th.
So you know that'd be a dope.
Was that a Monday? Look, all right. Let me ask the question.
That's working out.
All right, let's get back to the show. All right,
come on. Whatever you gotta say, we ready. Come on, let's cross talk.
Drop it.
I just need to know
how.
And you ain't gonna answer this now.
No, I got you.
I need to know how.
I already know you gonna.
Nas, the man who started 20 years ago. He not saying Jay didn't.
Right.
You know. My man Illmatic, I just watched yesterday, just last night, Nas do the whole Illmatic album with the National Symphony Orchestra.
That's dope.
That's freaking
monumental. That's crazy, yeah. The whole platform or the way they redesigned the songs is still added to hip hop scratch and feel in it, and it's like, and I don't take nothing from Jay, but I'm like,
did that?
No. That's what I say. I don't take nothing. He did. What of, and it's not even about when they was beefing that Ethan just smashed everything about.
It didn't, but you know what I'm saying?
It didn't.
Jay-Z mentioned that.
At the end of the day, thank you, Mr. Stephen Gibbs. The man admitted himself that he is not a greatest MC as not seen.
He's getting an early stage of dementia, man.
No!
Early stage of dementia.
Come on. I'm going to shut up talking.
Because we got to get back to what we actually got him here for.
It's easy for me to answer this question. Because, like most people, music means something to them.
Gotcha.
A particular place and time. I was going through this happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So they were like, you just told me, they're connected with the artist.
Right.
There's none higher lyrically than Jay to me.
I got you.
Because when I was coming up, that's what it was.
Take the E-Hud out the playlist.
There was none like you, bro. Jay, like when I first started listening to hip hop back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It was Biz Markie and Big Daddy Kane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's who I listened to.
Gotcha.
And then, went to New Jack Swing with Guy and Teddy Riley and all that.
Right.
That whole hip hop. That's why Kane, and Kane's from Brooklyn. I'm Brooklyn to my core.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I get you.
Jay, I just connected
with
what I was going through at the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, you go through Mouthpiece. When I first heard Mouthpiece, yeah, my mind was just like, yo.
He was a saved Jay-Z to me when I
that's
heard
my
him.
Thing. Yeah. So I connected with Mouth, with his music. I discovered who he was on MySpace.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? And when he had this song called something about I Get It From My Daddy, that joint.
He played at the sanctuary. I know some about.
Yeah, exactly.
Swagger from my daddy.
Yeah.
I heard him actually before then. Actually at a concert, he was doing a show with Tribe of Levi, my brother. And it was all, I was there to record them, and he came up last.
Wow. Yeah.
And he did like a whole 3-minute set and was giving away his CDs for $1.
You know what I'm saying?
But he was like the save Jay-Z to me.
Yeah.
All right, I'm biased.
I love this.
Give me one minute.
I'm not sorry because I'm excited. I'm thinking about who we got to bring at the table for the next discussion. I'm trying to think of who.
Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
No Doubt is the greatest album he has ever made. I couldn't listen to him no more. Because Jesus Can't Save You. Your Life Starts When the Church Ends.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the thing about this is, It doesn't take away from my experience with the whole like you said, Reasonable Doubt album. Right. I remember when I was going through streets watching all that time. And it was a good time for my life.
No doubt. So
I get it. So I guess what I need to understand is everybody don't have my mindset when it comes to they top five. Because in minds, when it comes to like lyrically, like when I heard Illmatic, I was blown away. And it's just like, I've been stuck on dude ever since. And it was because he stayed conscious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He stayed lyrical. He stayed relevant. Everything he did, he never switched up like Pop. You know what I'm saying? There was like 4 different sides to Pop. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, and then I guess because I study him, like he didn't even want to battle Jay. Mm-hmm. Like that was the thing. He heard his man's in the club. Yo, man, Jay in the club ragging on you. He just lost his moms. He like, nah, man, I ain't with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then he turned into Busta Douglas. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, okay, so I'm going to treat you like you was the cancer that killed my moms. Mm-hmm. And that's where Ether came from.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't let up. Like, you put out like 3 diss songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I was just like, who would be? That's like going up against KRS-One. Mm-hmm. I would never in a million years even dream about doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even if you are awesome lyricist. Mm-hmm. If Eminem says that, Eminem can do some crazy stuff with words. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I just, we need to have that show.
No doubt.
We gotta have that show. Yeah, I can't tell your audience when it's gonna happen because we gotta get some people on here.
I got you. He's the creator of the show now.
We will be doing that show, and I'm glad too, because I love these kind of conversations. But anyway, we need a whole show to vote for that. But anyway, right. Okay. I already got some ideas. I wrote those down. Moving on to the rest of the show. That's Crosstalk's format is that we have no format. We say this every time. We have no format. So either way it goes, we still got time. We're making more time.
Right.
Y'all get a little bit more for your, I would say for your money, but our podcast is free to people, so you just get more for whatever you do. I don't know. All right, so now we got to move on to the podcast because we got your top five. Mm-hmm. You were doing a podcast, which is one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show because of your song, of course.
Right.
And I always like to get, I want, you know, this Crosstalk, it's a lot of information we try to deliver, but I also want to expose my background. My background's in holy hip-hop now because I do the sanctuary, but I always want to expose my people because, like you said before, you didn't know how much hip-hop is out there. Right. So if anybody's out there doing holy hip-hop on a dope level, like that's, now I'm not saying because you rap for God it's always good, but I'm saying you're talented. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Because people can rap for God and it'd be garbage. So I'm saying, because you're a Christian rapper, I'm not going to put you on the same track. I'm not going to put you across. But HUD, you've been doing it for a minute.
Right.
And I always want to expose people to good hip hop.
I appreciate it.
Life music, Christian hip hop, however you want to word it.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to get you on the show to showcase your song. But you got this dope podcast coming out, man. So I really want to support you with that and just give you a chance to share your podcast with people out there. I don't care if we have a podcast. It's not competition here, man.
Right, so
tell us about your podcast, man. What's the name of it, first and foremost?
The podcast is called HUD's House.
HUD's House.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
And it's really birthed from my pain, pretty much.
Okay. Mm.
So everything that was done to me as an artist coming up, I want to provide a platform for those that are coming up.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's pretty much it. You just answered two questions right there.
Yeah.
What's your name?
I got what's the name?
And you covered two questions. What
inspired you to do the podcast? Yeah. I got the check.
That's it right there. That's
check it. And check.
Yeah, yes.
Because it was hard coming up, man, and wanting to be involved and wanting different platforms.
Yeah, definitely.
Voice and... You either they didn't notice you or it just didn't happen. I just want to provide a platform for not just music, you know, like Chris and I jumped into basketball, we jumped into politics, you know, and we jumped into music as well. You know what I mean?
So, Chris, you can't jump into politics somewhere.
Absolutely.
I can tell whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, so give us a little taste. So you said it's birthed out of pain. You want to give a platform to different artists and people that just need a platform, basically.
Right.
And you just explained, basically, when you had Chris on the show, y'all dove in a basketball part of something. Is that going to be how your show, kind of like a free formatted show?
Exactly. I have scripted questions, but that episode was just, we just talked.
That's dope, man. We just talked.
Yes. I didn't even bring my iPad in there. As a matter of fact, I handed it to my daughter and said, take pictures.
I hear that. We just talk.
I just want to have a conversation.
We just talk, man.
That's dope. What's going on with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, let's just talk. Let's just be... Because I think some people believe that... Well, some Christians can be kind of guarded.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be guarded. We don't ask no questions. You know, let's just talk, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've always wanted, that's one reason I respect G-Stat, you know, his music. And
who's that?
Yeah, you know, right?
Who's G-Stat?
Yeah. Jason?
You mean Jason Stevens?
Yeah, Jason, yeah. You know, I used to, years ago, when I first started doing gospel music, I was in the studio, and my manager at the time, he brought this young lady to the studio, and I'm telling you, she was a splitting image of Toni Braxton.
Oh, wow.
She looked... Mind you, I'm single at the time. So I'm looking at a potential, and she could sing, you know?
Right.
Just like Toni Braxton. I mean, she could sing and everything like that. And what happened was, I asked, I said, man, sing about you as a young woman, you know, wanting to date.
Yeah.
You're a Christian, but you want to date.
Yeah.
Or you're a Christian and you have a boyfriend. give me those type of scenarios. Right, you know, right, it doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make you less of a a God fearing person or whatever. Just that's real conversation for somebody else that may be going through the same thing.
True.
You know what I mean? So you know, that's what the format of the podcast is. Let's just talk, man.
Conversation.
Let's
I love it.
Conversation.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we're gonna be tuning in, man. No where can people? Where can we hear your podcast though?
iTunes definitely. What is it? TuneIn?
TuneIn, iTunes.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about what other stores we can send it to. But February 16th is going to be the air date.
Okay.
Do you have a time that you're airing it, or is it just...
Not sure the time yet, but definitely going to be on the 16th. I just ironed that out this week, matter of fact.
Yo, let us know, man, because I definitely want to tune in and check you out and support you, too, a fellow podcaster. You know, we got to stay together, yo, for real.
We do.
Yeah.
So that's what's up, man. So I really appreciate you coming through, but I'm going to share this quick story with you, with the audience. We already talked about before the show. E-Hud here has a podcast coming out called Hud House. And what y'all don't know is that E-Hud inspired me to do crosstalk. He called, and at the time, he didn't realize he's inspiring me, but he called me because I was on a radio show, and he called me asking, did I know? I don't know why you called me about a podcast, but apparently I didn't know about it.
Right.
So, he called me about a podcast. And I was actually between the radio show, I'm thinking, well, God, I want to do something. Like, am I supposed to leave the show? What am I supposed to do? I feel like you can call me to do something different. And then when Hud called me, started asking about a podcast, I actually had no idea how to do a podcast. And then as I was talking to Hud, I started like, you know, I need to do a podcast. And then when I was gathering information to get to him, it's like, it's falling in my lap. It's like, you know, I do know people who do podcasts. I called Brenton up. He told me how to do it. And then after that, I just kind of snowballed from there. Like, I got with Pudge, and we came up with the title together and snowballed from there. We 42, 43 episodes in. But it's all because of this conversation.
Right.
This guy here called me. And asked, he didn't even know. But he called me. It's because that one phone call out of the blue. He called me. I don't even think we had spoke a long time before. You called me out of the blue.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, this is Hud, man. I saw you on the radio show. Do you know anything about podcasts? Like, no, but I can get some information. Yeah, and after that, man, I got on like literally the next day, like, yo, I got my answer. I know what I'm supposed to do now.
Right.
And so, man, I really want to appreciate you for that call, man. Congratulations on your podcast, your new song, Headshot, man.
Yes.
Thank you for stopping through, man. We appreciate the friendship, the fellowship, the nuggets.
Just
for as a kingdom citizen, man, I appreciate what you do for the kingdom.
Appreciate it, man.
You know, as a pastor, man, I'm not a pastor, I'm saying as a pastor, I appreciate what you do as a pastor for your congregation, because I understand it's not a job, it's a life. It's a lifestyle. You know, and people don't realize that. Well, pastors, you know, they get blamed for when they're not showing up, but they never get credit for when they show up, when they're in the hospital praying, when they get woke up in the middle of the night praying for people. I think it's like probably one of the most thankless jobs, but comes with the most responsibility.
Absolutely.
And people get funny at you when you talk about pastor appreciation, but you need that. Mm-hmm. Like, pastors, a lot of them are one step from suicide, one step from quitting. You know, I'm a regular person, and I get burnt out just dealing with people in my little circle, but I can only imagine how it is to have a flock that blame you for everything that go wrong and blame you for when you're not around, don't allow you to be human, you know, you take off to take care of your family, they blame you, call, you know, I'm speaking, so I understand that. So, man, my prayers are with you and every pastor out there, man, but we appreciate you, man, but this is the part where we do our shout-outs.
All
right. It's actually past the time we do our shout-outs.
Either way.
Let's look at this. That's your
alarm. Oh, my bad. See, my bad.
That's the shutdown alarm. But anyway, we got to get some shout-outs. So first and foremost, shout-out to our special guest, E-Hud, in the building.
All right. Give it up.
Newest listener to Crosstalk. Shout-out to Wifey, who's tuning in.
Yes.
Shout-out to my mom, who's down in Great Georgia, who tunes in, and when we don't shout her out, she calls us on it.
And gets on us real
good. Yeah, so shout out to my mom always being there. Shout out to our homegirl, Alicia, holding down for Kanye's.
All right.
Shout out to homegirl, Brandy, listening to every episode. Shout out to Love Work Studios, our sponsor, Mix Love and Master. Work.
Yes.
Yo, if you love the quality of this show, the quality of the production of this show, you contact Love Work Studios right now.
Yes.
Shout out to Tokyo, Japan in the building.
Love,
shout out to
Tokyo.
Brazil listening to us. Shout out to Canada listening to us. See, we got to do two portions at this point. Shout out to United Kingdom. Shout out to Portugal listening. Shout out to Russia tuning in.
Right.
Now we get into the United States now. Shout out to Las Vegas, Minneapolis, Graysonville, Maryland, Bronx, New York tuned in.
Oh.
Edenton, Georgia, Norcross, Georgia, Morrow, Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia, Forest Park, Georgia.
Shout out to everybody that listens. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you.
International talk.
Yes, man. Like we appreciate everybody listening. So if you want to hear anything different from Crosstalk, hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Always tune in, crosstalk.buzzsprout, or we're on TuneIn, we're on iTunes. Hit us up on Facebook. Just talk to us. Let us know what you think of the show.
Yeah.
But tell your friends and family about us. We got. We make the shows for people like you and me, like HUD, like everybody out there who need to hear a good word or hear right. something that you they can't talk about in church. Yeah, let us know. We will talk about it.
Right.
In great detail with no shame, no unapologetic. That's how we do
right.
it Crosstalk.
Everything unapologetically.
Yes, sir. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk.
Radio.
Peace.